according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you are long-term planners? You make your one-year goal, your three-year goal, your five-year goal. You review it regularly, make some little tweaks in it. I saw a couple of hands go up. Some of you like to have your life planned out, don't you? You set your goals, and you want to achieve them. Well, what happens when something catastrophic occurs and all your plans... Yeah, what happens then?
You adjust. Or you panic.
You know, I'm into the panic first, adjust later. Because I think that's what's happening in our gospel. Those who had been following Jesus were starting to make plans. James and John had already gone to Jesus saying, "When you come into your glorious kingdom, allow one of us to sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand." I mean, they were making plans. When Jesus came into his kingdom, they were going to have positions of authority in it. Jesus told them that they had no idea what they were asking. And Judas, I think Judas had plans. And Judas was planning that he was going to be a major part of Jesus' rule once he entered into his kingdom. And after all, he could then have more money to administer in the treasury. He could be a really big man. This could be a really good life. And the rest of them, what plans did they have as they followed Jesus? What were they expecting him to be as Messiah? After all, if he was going to be someone great, weren't they going to be great people as well? Weren't they going to have positions of authority? Weren't they going to have nice, cushy lives? You think any of them had their eyes set on one of those fine homes out there with servants? A good life. Once Jesus entered into his glorious kingdom, once he raised up his army and freed them from those dreaded Romans, and life was good again. And last week we celebrated Palm Sunday. And the people took branches and they took their cloaks and they strewed them in front of Jesus. And they called out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us. We're expecting salvation. We're expecting the sort of salvation that we're looking for, salvation from the Roman Empire, these oppressors of our nation." And then later in the week, we hear different cries. We hear especially those cries turn nasty. The cries of "Crucify him. He's not the Messiah we're looking for." What must it have been like for those who were following Jesus to be there as one of their very own betrays him with a kiss, as he is arrested and led off? And even if they weren't there, they heard about it later on and they knew what the sentence was. Death. Some of them would have followed him for a while on that last journey to the cross. We're told the women stayed, but one disciple stayed, and the rest fled. And I think the worst days of their entire life came right after Jesus was executed. What must it have been like for them to have gathered together in fear, wondering if it was going to happen to them? Wondering, what do we do now? We have these plans. What do we do now? He's gone. He's dead. What do we do? On the Saturday, the Sabbath day, there's nothing they can do. The law limits even how far they're able to travel on that day. And all they can do is gather together and probably tell stories of Jesus, what they thought was going to happen, and cry. And Mary, we're told, is still in tears. Of course she's still in tears. How many of you have suffered a loss and all you can do initially is cry? Cry and wail out. Cry and say, "This was not in the plans. This is not what I thought was going to happen." So Mary, on the first day of the week, goes to the tomb, tears streaming down her face. John's gospel, we don't have her carrying spices. We don't have her about to do anything but go to the tomb and weep. Weep after this one that she's followed, this one whose ministry she has supported, this one that she has loved. She goes to the tomb and weeps. That was her plan. Just go and think about what could have been. Just be caught up in her grief. But she gets to the tomb and she sees that the stone has been rolled away. And the only thing on her mind is someone has come and stolen away his body. And they don't know where they put it. So she runs back and tells the others who are gathered together, the 11 who are gathered together, and the women who are with them. "They've stolen his body. I don't know where he is." So we're told that Peter and one of the other disciples, commonly thought of as John, run to the tomb. One gets there first and looks in, and then Peter rushes by him, looks around. The other disciple goes in. We're told that one of them believes, but we're also told that they don't quite understand what has just happened. And so they go back to that room where they've been gathered, and Mary stays. And that there are angels that she encounters, but you know how it is when your eyes are so filled with tears you can't see. So to her, they're just men in white. So where is he? Where have they taken him? I don't know where he is. Just tell me where he is. And she sees another figure, and that's all that she can say. Tell me where he is. Please tell me where he is, and I'll take his body away. Please tell me. How heartbreaking that must have been for her. She's gone there just to weep at his tomb, and he isn't even there. And she doesn't know where he is. And he asks, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't recognize him until he calls her name, Mary. And then through her tears, she understands who this is. And I imagine that she got up, ran, and grasped his feet. And he tells her that she can't hang on to him. And he needs to ascend to his Father. And she goes running back and tells the others. He's not where she expected him to be. She expected him to be still there, lying in the tomb. He's talked about resurrection, but all that they really know of is resurrection on the last day. The dead stay dead. Okay, there have been a couple of instances where Jesus was the one who raised people, but how can this happen? And they don't understand. Jesus has to appear to them over and over again. And we'll hear stories of that in our coming weeks. But Jesus is not where they expect him to be. Jesus was not who they expected him to be. So where do we look for Jesus today? On Easter, we think of all the various symbols of Easter, don't we? What do you think of when you think of Easter? I saw some jelly beans, Easter eggs, bunny rabbits, little chicks. Some of you are thinking of the plans that you have to make for yet another big family feast. I think of all the work that went into decorating this church for Easter. But do we see Jesus in it? Where do we see Jesus? Where do we find him today? Where are we looking for him? Are we looking for him? Are you looking for Jesus? Where can you find him? I think the best place that we find him is in one another. To see in one another an image of Jesus, to acknowledge that in the waters of baptism we all became brothers and sisters, we're all siblings. Even if we come from different faith practices, we're still siblings. We have the same Father. We see Jesus in one another. We see Jesus in the waters of baptism, and I rejoice at every baptism. We see Jesus in communion. And I've told the worship committee that you can play whatever song you want at communion. I don't hear it. I zone out at communion. For me, that's just a special time. And I rejoice at communion. The idea that Jesus has given himself to us. So that's my challenge for you. Think of where you find Jesus. Think of where you're searching for Jesus. Are you looking in the wrong places? But also remember, even if you're not looking for Jesus, Jesus is looking for you. Amen.